If the world were like a Sleep Number mattress, everything would adapt for your comfort. Because as your life changes and your body changes, Sleep Number mattresses adapt and shift to give you personalized comfort night after night. And now everything's on sale during our Memorial Day event. Save up to $1,200 on mattresses for a limited time. To experience a whole new world of comfort, visit a Sleep Number store or go to sleepnumber.com. Sleep Number, to a good life's sleep.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to WWE Postgame Live, WrestleMania 42, Night 2, going down live from Allegiant Stadium in Las Vegas, Nevada. And we're here to recap the show for you live right after the show ended about 30 minutes ago on ESPN Unlimited. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right-hand, the sometimes advocate for the current speed champion, Rin Sinclair. From NXT, I bring to you, to the show, live on the Fightgame Media Network on YouTube, the one, the only, Perky Scott Young. Welcome back, Perky.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited about the conversation we're going to have today. WrestleMania ended on a high note, a match that made sense, a layout that had a reason, and a finish that was seemed to be thought out.
Purpose, sensible booking. My brain is freezing, Scott. That happened tonight? It did? Really? A competently booked WrestleMania compared to what we got the night before, which we're going to talk about as we wait for people to come on into the chat. And you can drop a super chat. You can drop in on the conversation. Talk about your thoughts from tonight's WrestleMania night, too. But since Gigi and Jeremy, as well as Jeff Hawkins, talked about the show last night, we have not publicly responded to night one of WrestleMania. So, Scott, I'm going to give you the mic, give you the floor to offer your takes and analysis from night one of WrestleMania before we dive into the superior night two.
Yeah, night one was solid. I mean, night one was okay until you got to the end. I thought everything until the main event, which left just a labyrinth of a taste in your mouth, because you're just like, what do we got going on here? But on the way there, I didn't mind the ride. I showed speed. I thought he did a good job starting out. The women's four-way page returning, that was a real cool moment. Like, I thought on the way there to the main event, if the main event could have knocked it out the park, we're talking in a very different light about night one. But because the main event was just, I almost feel bad for Randy, man. It's like every time Randy gets a title match, they put a stupid stipulation like in 25 where they said no one could get DQ'd even though the whole thing had been built on them destroying each other. Or he gets a semen following him like he did against Bray Wyatt at that WrestleMania. So it's just like this man can't catch a break. And then this one, the booking is, it seemed like they're heading for a double turn. And then he turns on Pat McAfee, which leads to Cody Rhodes. Like it's, the whole thing is baffling. But yeah, so the ending left a very sour taste to what I thought was an otherwise fine show. Like this is no one should be surprised at the time frames, the ads, all of that. It should not be a surprise anymore. So as far as on the way there, could have been a good show, but the main event just left an awfully sour taste. There was no sweet that followed the sour.
It was absolutely bitter. I will say that as I slept on it, I hated the show less because I hated the show when it went off the air last night. I was irritated. I was like, what is this? But I think it boils down to this is WrestleMania. This is by far your biggest show of the year, split over two nights. This is the night that your talent has been waiting for all year long, and we're getting shortchanged on time. You don't have to rush. You're on an app that doesn't have a time limit. Just do your show. It's like we take it to the extreme. Let's not go too long, which I appreciate, but let some of your matches breathe a bit more. It's WrestleMania. This is not a B show. This is your biggest show of the year. And I feel like AEW, they go too long, and WWE, you go too short. There needs to be a happy medium to give the people what they want. And that was my biggest issue, the time that the women's tag team title match got. Too short. Liv and Stephanie, their time was too short. The opening match of WrestleMania was more about I show speed spot, so I understood the short length of the match. Gunther and Seth had a very good match. We knew that Braun Breaker was going to come back and interfere. Totally get that. And then this main event of Randy versus Cody. And as you said, I feel for Randy because he has been screwed over in these WrestleMania main events, overbooked to death. And when it's his moment, when the fans are behind him and they want to see him win, all you have to do is stick the landing and let him win. We did not need Pat McAfee, but apparently TKO thought that we needed him to push tickets. And tickets moved. Was it papered? I would say yes. So did you legitimately move tickets when it counted most terms of human beings buying the tickets the week of WrestleMania, the day of? Debatable on that. And then we completely kill off Pat McAfee last night when Randy RKO'd him. So what was the point? Because they hit the exit ramp so quick on McAfee because it was a failure. And then we had this double turn tease, as you said, with Cody and Randy going back and forth. Cody hits his finisher for the W, and then Randy punts Cody, and poor Cody, busted eardrum last year, orbital bone crush this year. The man's been going through it to a chorus of boos, and now his status is in question heading into SmackDown on Friday. Randy, is he hurting? Is he okay? We don't know either. So it just left a sour taste in my mouth heading into tonight's WrestleMania. But thank God things ended well, ended on a happy note, and it was not overbooked to death. And it reminded me, oh yes, this company, when it wants to, can do professional wrestling.
Yeah, so it's a good thing we had two nights. Night two was vastly superior. Not a lot that's really memorable on night one that you'll really be talking about when you think about this WrestleMania. But night two, I think, more than made up for that.
It did. It was a nice palate cleanser. We needed it, good Lord, because we went through a lot on night one. But let's get into night two of WrestleMania. It started on ESPN proper, promptly at 6 p.m., John Cena greeted us in his suit, as he promised. We would never see him in a suit ever again. Well, in his jorts ever again, I should say. He's going to be in a suit and tie moving forward, and he is a man of his word. But before we get to night two, I do want Scott's thoughts on something that happened on night one. So, Scott, you know, we had hopes. We had aspirations and dreams that someone would come back, but the EST is having a baby, so we will see her in 2028.
You know, obviously I'm happy for her, happy for Montez, but man, I just been waiting for a year, and then she comes back to tell us that she's gonna be gone for another year, some change. But you know what? If you're going to announce an attendance that was lower than last year's WrestleMania, there's no better way to do it than by using somebody's baby as a cover-up. So they did a great job with that.
Listen, a baby bump with abs is incredible, first of all.
Can we talk about that? Can we talk about that? I didn't know that was possible to have, like, a belly with abs.
Yes. Come on.
A six-pack belly.
A six-pack belly, which is phenomenal.
Incredible.
A baby that's counted as a part of the WrestleMania attendance. Also incredible. But yeah, I am so happy for Bianca and Tez. But man, to not see Bianca potentially for 3 years, that is crazy. But I know that she's superhuman. So I'm going to say late 2027 tops. She might pull it back. Yeah, I might see her at SummerSlam 2027. But yeah, she will be missed. Congrats to her. I know that she wants to be a mom for a very long time. When I saw her and Tez's Hulu special a couple of years ago. This is what they wanted, and it happened, and it's a blessing, and I'm very happy for her. But she will be missed in the interim, and the division, we're going to see how it resets in the next year or so. But now, officially, let's get on to night two of WrestleMania, and let's talk about the opening contest, which was Oba Femi versus the Beast, Brock Lesnar. And we talked about this on Tuesday's wrap, and we discussed the fact that our butt cheeks were a little clenched. They were a little tight heading into this match. It was, because we know that WWE has a history of fumbling the ball at the 2-yard line. When something is so obvious, they will find a way to mess it up. And one thought that did pop into my head, because a mutual mentioned this, was if you're on big ESPN and you're trying to cater to the casual fans, well, we might put Brock over and we'll let Oba get his time at a later date, or let's get some heat. You know how WWE operates sometimes. But thankfully, they did no such thing. They knew what they had to do. Just stick the landing and hit it. And Oba Femi came out there to a huge reaction. We got the crowd doing his move to the ring. It's all in unison, which I loved. Brock comes out, but this is a pro Oba crowd. They're all into it. And this was Oba's moment. He no-sold. He overpowered Brock. The only time Brock got any amount of offense was when Oba got a little bit overzealous and Brock took things to the outside, was allowed to German suplex Oba a few times, hit the F5, and then Oba just gets on one knee, powers back up, stands up, hits that man with a choke slam, lifts him up for a power bomb, and boom. Fall from grace. 1, 2, 3. Oba wins in his WrestleMania debut. Butt cheeks unclenched. I can breathe a sigh of relief.
All right. It's fine. But listen, the important thing is that Oba did get the victory. Looked great doing it. Only took one finisher, protected the finisher, got the kick out of a finisher. There's not much more you can ask for out of a Brock match. Brock did his job, made Oba look like a monster, and the moment afterwards, Brock taking his gloves and his boots off, and you know, obviously that's going to lead to Gunther, you know, being like, yo, Paul, I don't care what your boys' plans are, you owe me a favor. I got plans and you owe me a favor. So I thought it was a really good, fun sprint, exactly what it needed to be. Two horses just, and as Big E special, two horses just smacking meat.
Pause. But yes, that was a really good sprint. It needed to be 5 minutes, and that's what we got. I love the physicality. The crowd was into it. Anytime that Oba no sold or overpowered Brock, he got a huge pop, which I loved. And the right man won. Now, as we saw, Brock did take off the boots, took off the gloves, and he says, I'm done. And we got the crowd saying, thank you, Brock. I will thank him for one thing, for doing business. Thank you for putting Oba over. You handpicked him for this moment at WrestleMania. Thank you for that. But for anything else, sayonara, bye, redacted, be gone. I'm cool. You know, I'm cool with that. And my mind just can't turn off from what I know. Sadly, it is what it is. But as Scott suggested, this is not going to be a clean farewell retirement into that good night. Gunther's going to be on Monday Night Raw tomorrow night saying, hey, Paul, you owe me one. I took care of business at WrestleMania Saturday. I took care of Seth Rollins. Now you owe me. And Brock, no. I'm going to retire your ass in Minnesota. It's the perfect setting for SummerSlam. You pick a night one or two, and you can officially retire Brock in his home state and be done with it. But overall, I thought this was a great way to kick off WrestleMania. Oba was a made man and Brock did the job. And we will see what happens tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw when it comes to Gunther's favor being owed by way of Paul Heyman.
Yeah, a lot of what you could do with it. Rollins has still got a story to tell afterwards as well. And then as far as this goes, there's a lot to be told with Oba. Where does Oba go now? Whatever he decides to do, it's absolutely believable after beating Brock like that. So good start to the show.
Good start. He's already calling out a certain OTC as well after his match. So that might be the next direction at some point in the very near future, which I'm looking forward to. Hello, Fernando. Welcome to the conversation. He says night two was definitely better than soulless night one of WrestleMania. It was a soulless show, as he notes that this was a solid big man match to kick off the show. And he also asks, didn't he officially retire tonight? We would say they want you to believe he officially retired based on the act of taking off the gloves and the boots. The symbolism of it says retirement. But I think that he is going to unretire and Gunther will retire him officially at SummerSlam. And Fernando notes, Oba will become a champion at SummerSlam. Very good possibility. You don't want to stop the train while it's on the tracks. You don't want to do that. So we shall see.
Yeah, I'm not getting my hopes that high, but this, you know, if it happens, I'm all for it.
Listen, now's not the time to play scared. It's now the time to be bold and make some stars and take some risks. We'll see what they do. Next up was a ladder match for the Intercontinental Championship. And, you know, it's the biggest show of the year. And poor Dragon Lee, JD McDonagh, and Rusev got jobber entrances during the commercial break. Dragon Lee had these spectacular wings that I saw on the socials that did not make the air. WWE, shame on you. Don't give your people jobber entrances on the biggest night of the year. Shameful.
Hey, man, listen, it's either three people and a six man get the jobber entrance, or we get another 10 minutes of commercials mixed in at the end of a match. So I'll take the three people's entrances getting cut, especially if neither one of them won the match.
Shade, shade, shade. Listen, all those commercials, all I have to do is get up, go in the kitchen with ESPN. If you have a VPN or if you're watching internationally on Netflix, my condolences to you. If you had to sit through 30 minutes of Hulk Hogan's documentary preview, I am so sorry. That was not my experience. Now, maybe I need to fork over that dollar, you know, for ESPN Unlimited. If you're on a VPN, I'm serious. If you want to avoid that in the future, because all you got to do is go to the kitchen, cook you some dinner, come back in 3 to 4 minutes, and then you're back to the program. No worries at all. Truly.
Yeah, I didn't see the doc. I just got some regular old commercials and a couple trailers, but yeah, I'm good on the doc. And I'm yeah, that's crazy.
So that happened. And then after the jobber entrances, thankfully we saw Rey Mysterio rocking Deadpool. You know, Disney pays well now, so you can do that. As well as Javon coming out, he was happy to be out there. And then we had Penta coming out to a badass entrance as well. So this ladder match, as advertised, was absolutely incredible. All six men went out there and they put on an absolute show. Everybody had a chance to shine. Javon was sensational. Penta was great. Ray can still go at a high level. JD impresses. Rusev was there for what he needed to do. And, you know, Dragon Lee was Dragon Lee. He's going to put on a show as well. They all did their thing. It was spectacular. The high spots were great. The ladder breaks were fantastic. The nearing of climbing the ladder and grabbing the championship by Javon was great. And then he was hanging from the belt at one point because Rusev pretty much took the ladder away from him. And it led to Javon going up top, hitting a cutter to Rusev off the ladder in a great spot. Penta is a destroyer on JD McDonagh, and Javon Evans climbs the ladder to retrieve the championship, to retain the title. I was a little mixed on the finish because I was pulling for Javon, but Penta is so over and so great that I understand the why. And Javon's time will come. He will be a champion by the end of this calendar year. I do believe that. And of course, we still have Money in the Bank in September. Let me say that again. In September.
Another match for Javon to lose, but look great in. But this match was a lot of fun. And Penta probably was the right winner here. A lot going on, a lot of big moves, big moments. Everyone getting a chance to really look good. I love Javon's reaction when he walked out. He was like, whoa, all right. A few more people here than I probably thought we were going to be. You could just see it in his face. Like, there's a lot of people here. So that was really cool to see. And, yeah, Rey Mysterio still out there going at it in a ladder match, man. Who would have thought? The rumors on the internet said one thing, and he out there killing in a ladder match. You get that WrestleMania bag. So, yeah, I enjoyed it a lot. And I am curious to see who now goes after Penta. This is a big match for him to come out, go in as champion, and walk out as champion in a ladder match. Six man, easy way for him to lose the title. I say that says a lot about what they think about Penta.
They think very highly of him. Look at you already putting Russo on Javon. Like, he will lose Money in the Bank. Like, we can just cross it off now. Dream denied.
I mean, that's a wrap. That's a wrap. Yeah, that's a wrap. That's done. Honestly, I could see them giving Trick Williams Money in the Bank.
Ooh, yeah, you might be right. You might be right.
Having him be U.S. champion and Money in the Bank winner, I could see them really getting behind the Stand and Deliver main event.
They could. So I choose to hold out hope, okay? I choose to be hopeful and believe in the possibility that Javon will win, even though Scott has clearly said, you know what? He'll be a great runner up. He won't win. But I choose to believe there is hope there. I do. We have 5 months to get there. And I choose to believe there is hope that he will come out on top and win his Cash App Money in the Bank briefcase.
Okay. It ain't gonna happen, but that's cool.
You pessimist. But I understand it. I try to have hope. You have none. That used to be me. I used to have no hope, but now I'm trying to be hopeful here. And you say, Keela, just temper your expectations. Don't believe too much. And I understand that, but damn it, I'm an optimist sometimes. But let's get to the main card, the main show. For the United States Championship, it was Sami Zayn, the champion, versus the Lemon Pepper Stepper, Trick Williams, alongside a little Yachty. Let's try to get that out. Lil Yachty's coming out there. And we have a long fur coat train that Trick is looking back at. Like, are we dragging this fur? Is it coming down with me? It was dragging. It was a nice visual, but it was giving us some hell getting down to the ring. He made it down there. We had this match. And this was unanimous hate for Sami Zayn. He was booed. He was viewed as a heel. And he embraced it. He embraced being the bad guy, being booed. He took a cheap shot at Lil Yachty at one point as well, took some shots at Trick, and got into a little bit of a ruffle with the referee as well. But ultimately, Trick fought back. Lil Yachty got his lick back, and Trick was able to avoid a haluva kick in the corner, was able to hit his Trick shot knee strike to become the new United States champion. And, you know, the match was fine for what it was. It was a little on the short side, but if you try to protect Trick, that's what you should do. Sami did all he could, and they had a very good match, and that was that on that. This was a WrestleMania moment for Trick, and I was very happy that he got the W in front of his parents.
This is, like you said, this is exactly what it needed to be. It wasn't supposed to be a classic. They weren't put in a position to have a classic, so there's no point in going out there trying to have a classic when you can just go out there, have a statement match that says Trick Williams is here. And let me tell you this, though. Lil Yachty can stay. I'm cool with this Lil Yachty pairing. I thought he was really good in the match. The facials were really good. I enjoyed what he brought to the table. Didn't overshadow anything. And it was still all about Trick Williams. You have anointed like 2/3 of the Stand and Deliver main event and said that y'all are next. And Javon is right there. Like, it's looking very melanated right now, ever since Ryan Ward took over.
You mean when AI was replaced by a human being and Road Dogg was out? Blessings, obviously. Let's pray on that. Good times as well. But as you said, this was not meant to be a classic. Let's get in, get out. Let's crown the new champion. Let's call it a day. And I'm perfectly fine with that in this case, because we don't need an all-nighter. If that's not going to be your place on the card, let's just keep it simple. I enjoyed Little Yachty too. Now, I will say this. I think for the moment, it would have been cooler if Booker T did the ad-libs for his entrance. That would have made things pretty damn awesome. Full circle. Because I think the beat would have been more fitting for Booker to hit, and the crowd would have popped for it a bit more versus a lot. He's fine. He's cool. But Booker T would have really set the tone via that entrance and the ad-libs, in my opinion.
Yeah, I'm with you on the Booker thing. Just let him have all the old heads and Yachty rock with him. I'm cool with that. He could have had all three of them out there. They still would have cheered for him and booed Sammy.
Yeah, exactly. The outcome would have remained the same nonetheless. But solid match. Congrats to Trick Williams. First major championship on the main roster. 2/3 of Stand and Deliver's main event from last year. Won their matches at WrestleMania. That is very good. Javon got some shine as well. His time will come. But good showing for all three men. And back-to-back-to-back matches, that's another bit of symbolism as well, which I really appreciated it too. As we get to our next match, in a surprise street fight that was announced day of WrestleMania, it was the Demon Finn Balor versus Dirty Dominic Mysterio. And let's talk about the presentation of the Demon. Great intro. Loved it. You know, WWE has a pyro budget, which we totally understand. And apparently they spent a year's supply of streamers for this entrance. Michaels had a sale from WWE that day. They bought every streamer imaginable and they just blew them all for this entrance, which I loved.
No. See, what happened is Shinsuke Nakamura hasn't really been wrestling that much, and they had a whole bunch saved up for him. And so they just used all of his for this match.
So you're saying they had a 10-year supply of streamers they had on standby just for Finn?
Ever since they hired him, and it was like, oh, that's what they do with it, some of his matches over there? Okay, so we'll do that here. They bought a whole bunch, and they stopped using them because they stopped using Nakamura. They had a whole bunch. They're like, yo, let's go ahead and get rid of these.
You're wrong. You are shady. But in any event, great presentation for the Demon Finn Balor. And our hope was the Demon would win in his face paint, because if he didn't, what the hell? But thankfully, this was a very good street fight. No Judgment Day interference. No JD was laid out, obviously. No Raquel, no Roxanne, no Liv. It was just Dom out there by himself. Dom's interest is pretty cool, too. And, it was a good match. It was good for what it was. It had time to shine and flow, and the physicality was there, the chair shots. They both went through tables at one point. Finn, I love the kick out at one when he was powered up, and then when he got weakened with the chair shots at one point and going through the table. But Dirty Dom ate some chair shots as well and got a coup de grace through the Slim Jim table as Finn Balor got the W to get the win in this phase of the feud. So far,
I wasn't really a fan of. Went way too long. Demon should have just ate him up real quick, spit him out, and kept it moving. No reason for him to be able to get an opportunity to pin Finn, but the two frog splashes, even if he did kick out real early, still don't like that. I think it should have been maybe Dom gets a little early fury or flurry, but after that, it should have just been all Demon Finn Balor. A couple sling blades, kick them through a table, then do the coup de grace to the table and call it a day. I think that this went way too long for me.
I can understand that point as well, especially when you're the Demon. You don't want to sell that much. This could have been a 5-minute special. They gave it more time, considering where we were at last night's WrestleMania. I kind of welcomed it, let the match breathe a bit, but thankfully Finn won. If he lost, I would have been way more upset, but I was more thankful that this was interference free, because that was a theme from night one of WrestleMania. Too much shit going on. this was controlled chaos, and it was confined to the two guys, which I appreciated as well.
No, that's a good point. It was good that it was just one-on-one, not a lot going on the outside. But they could have done a little bit more to protect the demon.
Well, Scott, he won. Remember the last time he was a demon in a Hell in a Cell match at WrestleMania?
Well, you know, they don't ever let Edge lose on his, when he's going out the door. So, yeah, Edge can't put nobody over on his way out.
Nope. It's not in the contract. I'm not going to do that for you. Also, let's not forget Extreme Rules. Under the Vince McMahon administration, redacted what happened when the demon came out to play.
Oh, that's just because that was a malfunction, a ring malfunction.
A ring...
He was supposed to win the match, but the ring malfunction happened, so they called an audible.
Yes. And some of y'all want this man back.
Good times.
Some of y'all chanted thank you redacted at the Hall of Fame ceremony during Stephanie's speech on Friday night. Y'all want this man back. An 80-year-old air fryer for a brain. You want him out there. Okay. Mm-hmm. Remember the times. I'm like, MJ, remember the times we suffered. And when the demon got beat on the grandest stage at Extreme Rules due to a top rope malfunction. Let's not forget that. Let's move on before I become even more stressed out. As we get to the WWE Women's Championship match between the champion, Jay Cargill, and the challenger, Rhea Ripley. The entrances for both ladies were great. Rhea, whoever did her makeup, tens. Loved it. Fantastic. Loved the fit too. An all white, different color scheme for her, which is cool. We got the match. Now, we were going into this match with some low expectations because the promo work between both ladies on SmackDown was giving oil and water because there was no chemistry on the microphone, just no real heat, no real energy, no real zest that can really sink your teeth into. However, on this night, despite whatever issues they might have, the chemistry in the ring was absolutely there. This was Jade's best match ever. Rhea Ripley, as we have said, is getting that title of Miss WrestleMania slowly but surely, of her pulling out bangers, being in top form, and delivering. This match over-delivered. We could have got like 5 extra minutes because they were starting to really cook. The interference was minimal. Io Sky was a great equalizer to take out B-Fab and Meechin. But the work between Rhea and Jade, and what I loved about it was the fact that when Rhea was like goading Jade and taunting her and saying, I want more, hit me harder. And when she taunted her, Jade just went like for like a submission hold. Like, I don't know. We're like, no, we're not doing this. So I love the back and forth. We had a one-winged angel from Jade. Like, come on, for a near fall. And then the sweet transition of her avoiding Jaded and then Rhea landing the Riptide to get the win and the title. Great stuff. I would love to see this match run it back at Backlash, give them more time. But whatever they did in the lab, they cooked. The chemistry was there. More so than I can say for what we got last year between Tiffany and Charlotte, the chemistry was there when it counted most.
Yeah, and on that counter that you talked about, not only did she counter the Jaded into the Riptide, when she went through on the Jaded under the leg, she held on to the arm, so that way she was already in position for the Riptide when she stood up. I mean, it was a beautiful counter into the finish. And, you know, you spent a lot of time, Keela, talking about old Liv and Stephanie, hyping them on up for Liv to give us some trouble, you know, some old trouble. And instead, this ended up being arguably the best women's match of the weekend. Real good match, man. Strong match. Jay should be proud. Rhea should be proud. I'm glad Io got to have a nice WrestleMania moment, even though she should have had a match. But this was strong, man. Over exceeded expectations, and they came through when they needed to.
See, I'm upset about Liv and Stephanie because they got 7 minutes. Seven. Short change, ripped off on time. That pissed me off. Watch them get 20 minutes of backlash next month. Just watch and wait for that a month later. But I'll live. Pun intended, I'll live. And Jade and Rhea went out there and they delivered. They deserve more time too. A 10-minute match for WrestleMania for the women's division, they needed more time. And I need WWE to appreciate their women a bit more and also not telegraph the main events of your shows by saying it's men's only. That you have to condition your fans to think of the possibility that a women's match could main event WrestleMania if you tell the story. Becky Lynch mentioned that in an interview recently as well. We have got to stop the, it's predictable that it's going to be Roman and Punk or, you know, Seth in the mix or Cody. Like, yeah, we have to break that cycle of it's being so obvious by, I don't know what, November of what the main event is going to be, and try to build the division for the ladies up year round to say, hey, these matches are equally worthy of being in the main event if you give us a story and the time. Don't dislodge us as you're going to be the co-main event. That's close enough. Like, no, let's build these matches up and just give it to the fans to decide, okay, is this main event worthy versus you basically setting it up from the jump of what you want for WrestleMania to be?
Yeah, I agree with all that. And, you know, this year is going to be the test because we've talked about it multiple times. There is only one match, one women's match that you could put out there. And you're like, all right, that's definitely main eventing either night one or night two, no matter what men's match you put against it. And that's Bianca versus Rhea Ripley. You put that match out, that can close the weekend, or it can close night one against any men's match. Now you have a full year because you know Bianca's not coming back, you know Naomi won't be back. You have a full year to try to build somebody up to have that opportunity or possibility. We've already seen Rhea and Charlotte, so that's not going to do it. The only other person Charlotte could really go against and feel like it was main event worthy would be Bianca Belair. Because that's the last notch on her belt. So you have a year to build a woman up to get to that point. Who that could be, I don't know right now. Because they don't have anybody in a position to even be built up in that way. Have that connection with the crowd and stuff. So we'll see what they do for next year and see if they're even in a position to have a women's main event or two women or someone on the level of Rhea Ripley. To where it's like, all right, which night are they closing?
Well, we can skip 2027.
Yeah, that's true.
Saudi Mania.
That's true.
So we're just going to skip ahead to 2028 when they pick a city that they want to go back to. Preferably not Las Vegas. Let's not go back there for a good 5 years. Can New Orleans get their WrestleMania back? I know that Indianapolis is old one. But can we just pick a different city? So we could skip 2027, Scott. It's a gap year. So we just have to not acknowledge it. Fernando suggests Soruka, possible. So if we're thinking about main events for WrestleMania in 2028, if we're going to wait that long to get there, let's see. Honestly, if Bianca's back, yes. There are two main events you could run. One is Io versus Rhea. Because that story is still there that Rhea has never beaten Io. That is still a story to be told. And trust me, I smell a turn at some point too. I smell it in the atmosphere. A turn's coming. Also, you could do Jade versus Charlotte. Because at one point, that was going to be the match at WrestleMania. Possibilities there.
Those are possibilities. Yeah. I mean, you could do that. Honestly, when it comes to WrestleMania, a Becky Charlotte title match would absolutely be in the conversation as well. If you had Becky versus Charlotte, I think you can make an argument that those two could close a match. They could build it up to that point where it's like, all right, this feels like one of the most important matches on the entire weekend. So you could do something like that. And, you know, the only, as far as new people goes, Lash would be interesting. I don't know if she'd be able to build it in 2 years. Cause like, I agree with you. Ain't no women main event in the next couple of years, or next year. But yeah, Lash is an interesting one as well, but Sol Ruka's probably got the best chance to build that type of groundswell in a 2 year span and be like, all right, now we're ready to really get behind her and put that rocket on her.
Yeah. And also feature main eventer, Kendall Gray. She will be main eventing a WrestleMania one of these days, very, very soon. And you can have any combination of her and Rhea, Io, Bianca when she comes back. You can run it. Kelly Armstrong's going to come up too. They have a lot of hoopers in NXT that could get called up and make a difference on the main roster that could be positioned as main eventers in the next few years. But it won't be next year. Next year is going to be a gap year for WrestleMania. It's Saudi Mania. I don't have hope because the Saudi prince is going to throw hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars at the show to begin with. And he's going to be throwing money at these legends come out of retirement for one more match. So it is what it is. I'll be surprised if a women's match headlines WrestleMania, but I don't foresee it.
Nah, and then headlining over The Rock versus Roman and Stone Cold versus CM Punk. So, you know, it's going to be tough to headline over those two matches.
Yeah, when the collective salaries for all of these matches would be upwards to $100 billion. So, yes. All righty. So then, before the main event, I'm sure Scott loved this part of the show. So John Cena comes out to announce the attendance for tonight's WrestleMania. Allegedly, 55,000 people were there. Great. Then The Miz comes out to say, I am the new locker room leader. I will have my WrestleMania moment. I was denied last year. I will not be denied this year. Kit Wilson comes out as well. And John Cena says, who are you? Nice to meet you. To be very shady towards Kit. And then we get Danhausen and the Little Housens coming out. And Michael Cole called the midgets. He says, listen, before y'all cancel me, that's what they call themselves, okay? That's what they wanted me to say. Don't cancel me for calling them midgets. I'm going to call them Little Housens, okay? So the Little Housens came out there, and they ran down as Danhausen drove down the ramp and got in the ring. And he wanted to introduce himself to John Cena, shake his hand, and he just says, hey, I made it to WrestleMania. That's great. The Miz was irate at this, and he wanted the Little Housens and Danhausen to leave. And this led to the Little Housen punching Kit Wilson in the penis. And that led to all the Little Housens attacking Kit Wilson. The Miz tries to fight back to no avail against the Little Housens. Danhausen lays out the Miz, his version of the five knuckle shuffle. And in a moment of great comedy, when Danhausen tries to say, hey, you can't see me, and he tries to disappear, and he doesn't, that broke John Cena. It broke him. He was trying to keep it together, but it broke him as Danhausen literally like got out of the ring, tried to go underneath the ring with the Little Housens, and Cena tried to keep it together. He really did. It was so stupid, but I enjoy the stupidity.
Lots to unpack here. First of all, as far as Little Housens go, another aspect to that is before he did that, they started carrying the Miz out.
Yes.
On like surfboard. They started just carrying that man out like that. And when Danhausen threw the smoke out, I was like, oh, you can still see me. They like dropped the Miz and started scurrying about. So lot of controlled chaos right there. It was cool. Like Miz said, two goats out there and Kit Wilson. So it was great. You know, a lot of respect for the Miz like he deserves. Glad he got his WrestleMania moment. And, you know, John Cena said, listen, we can do whatever you want to do. I'm not throwing no more AAs. I'm not getting physical. I'm just stepping right to the side. I'm not even throwing no little one-liners. I'm just going to be very passive aggressive from here on out. So, but it was cool. I really enjoyed it. Danhausen got a nice moment, nice WrestleMania moment. See what he does with it. This man has done more in about 4 weeks at his time at WWE than he did in his last 3 years with his previous company.
Listen, and one of the greatest recoveries after a very so-so debut at Elimination Chamber, we're ready to pack this man and go to Triple A. Like, go there, have a great career, international travels to you. He has been able to recover quickly, get the gimmick over, and sell t-shirts, for God's sakes, get big pops. He's living the dream. He's got the bag. The man is going to be a lifer in WWE. I'm happy for the man. And to have a WrestleMania moment to break John Cena, which is not easy to do because John is like straight-laced. I am like, I ain't going to say nothing. When a man blows smoke and does not disappear, you can't help but to laugh at that. So I loved it. It was great, dumb comedy. Shout out to the Littlehausens for being so strong to carry the Miz out of there and then drop him. That was equally funny as well.
Nice little buffer segment for the epic main event that was on the way. So worked out well. Again, night two, just a better night overall.
Better night in terms of buffer segments. Besides Bianca's pregnancy announcement, that was lovely.
Yeah.
But I felt like this segment, it dragged less, and we just got right to the main event before 9 o'clock, which I appreciated. And Brandon notes that you want to hear WWE is planning on Randy versus Cody again and Oba versus Roman for the championship of SummerSlam. Those are the rumors. That is a speculation. I do believe both of them because they clearly said we're off the Pat McAfee train.
Listen, man, if Oba goes on there and beats Brock and then goes and beats Roman, that says something right there. I don't even know what you do after that. Who dares to challenge you after you beat Brock and then you beat Roman? Who do you have that's like, yeah, I'd do that. Yeah, I could beat him. Who would say that?
Scott? There is an unfinished story that has not been paid off. And you know what that story is. You know who it is.
What's
if they
that?
Do it. You know this. You know the answer. Because once you eliminate the Brocks and the Romans, there is a match you can go to that the people of NXT know very well. And we know these guys can go. And if they can go even further on the main roster, Javon is the guy. He has been denied for a reason to not beat him for that championship. So, yeah, you could go there and pay that off. It'll be a great babyface story for him to conquer someone he has tried to knock down for the last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah, the only problem is then he'd get Money in the Bank cashed in on him by Trick Williams, and then we'd have a full circle of stand and deliver moment.
Listen, is that a bad thing, though?
No, it's not.
Is that terrible?
It's not.
It's not bad.
That would be, now we're just fancy booking, but that would be some of the craziest type of booking that you could do if they had Oba Femi lose to Javon just for Trick Williams to come in and cash in his Money in the Bank briefcase.
That would be insane, but it would be fitting at the same time. It would. And then they're running back at WrestleMania. Like, I swear these three guys are tied to each other for a reason. They're like the four horsemen of NXT, like the three, if you count Carmelo too, like it's what they do. That would destroy Obafemi. See, Scott's taking it too far. I just wanted a triple threat match. I didn't want a briefcase involved. I really didn't.
Well, I'm just saying, man. You have Javon somehow survive the Conqueror. He'll get mad and powerbomb, and here comes whoop that trick. Run it out with his lemon pepper steppers, and he might just smack Javon with one before he cashes in.
Oh, God. All right, so LA Knight is winning Money in the Bank. Well, Fernando, if you looked at WWE Unreal, that ain't happening because he apparently botched the finish last year of the match because he took too long setting up the finish and he forgot his spots, and it was such a disappointment and had that man crying in the corner, dejected. That's how they got nominated for the Emmy. LA Knight's performance of being dejected.
That'll be his redemption story for next season. Last year he messed it up. This year he ends up winning it by fixing a spot on the fly.
Crafty King he is. And now let's get to the main event of WrestleMania Night 2. It is Roman Reigns versus CM Punk for the World Heavyweight Championship. Let's talk entrances, shall we? Roman has a gold piano, an opera singer, golden drums, and he brought back his OG theme, Head of the Table. And I was like, thank you, God. I got used to the remix, but there's nothing like the OG original that set the tone for the Tribal Chief that we know and love. He came out there and listen. I love Randy Orton. I do. But he pulled some Undertaker shit last night, taking his sweet ass time, taking his way down to the ring. Roman got there faster than Randy Orton. I will say that. He was brisk with his entrance.
Randy was hurt.
Do not use that as an excuse. That man took deliberate pauses and kept walking, paused, continued walking, paused, kept walking, posed, kept walk. No. Hurt my ass. He was taking his sweet ass time. Shameful. At least yeah. Roman sped it up.
Well, that's because Roman said, yeah, we got a long match coming up. I'm trying to get home before 10 o'clock too. So let me go ahead and get to the ring. Let's get this started.
All righty. And then once again, CM Punk, I don't know what it is about his entrances the last couple of years, but damn, like the song selection, the video package, AFI being played. Like y'all know when it drops the money when you want to WWE playing his OG Ring of Honor theme song, tremendous. Comes out there with the crisp jacket, paying tribute to some people that have passed away in WWE behind the scenes, and the big tribute to Harley Race on the back, and of course, Larry on the front too. And the fact he comes out there cold open, no entrance music, then it comes in clean. Just 2 years in a row, the man has had some of the best entrances at a WrestleMania in terms of paying homage to his past to bring us to the present.
Yeah, that dude's just trying to erase his AEW legacy by doing all the things he did in AEW and try to do them here in WWE. All this was just his version of his entrance with MJF. So, listen, I know what you're trying to do, CM Punk. I get it. You're trying to make sure, like, you know, since they wiping you clean off their slate, you're like, well, I'm going to wipe y'all off my slate, too. So
with a bigger budget,
it's just seeing who's the pettiest. And you're right, it's on a bigger budget because Tony Khan's like, yeah, I'm not worried about you anymore, dude. I've moved on in life.
And CM Punk says, listen, I moved on too with a bigger budget. Yeah. And hey, they had me on sit on top of a stadium. Okay. You know what? So it just hit a little bit harder. It was notable. It's Fernandez's remix Punk. It was for sure. It is notable that Tony did not drop the tune into Dynamite on Wednesday tweet after tonight's WrestleMania. Like he knew, like, you know what? They cooked tonight. I can't even do it.
Wouldn't know this is where the best wrestle tonight. wouldn't that on the night. You know what I mean? Like, you know, and real curious about the timing on them texts and them tweets. So
could not fire that one off. Could not fire that one off tonight. It was a clean show. But this leads us to the main event. And I want to thank Roman Reigns and CM Punk. They went out there and they delivered a WrestleMania classic. They went out there and they said there will not be referee bumps. There will not be bloodline lore. We're just going to go out there and hoop. And they did. They talk shit. They laid in their shots. They told a story. The desperation from both men at various points in this match. What do I have to do to keep somebody down? I got to put you through the announce table. I got to hit you with multiple Superman punches. I got to make you bleed with the steel steps. That could have been a DQ, but the referee said, you know what? This is WrestleMania. I'm going to be lenient tonight. Y'all do whatever y'all want to do. We got blood from CM Punk. We had counters of spears and go to sleeps. And, you know, we had Roman lock in the guillotine on Punk at one point. And the fans were eating it up. They were lively for this match from start to finish. And then Roman was in position to get the W. That did not happen. Punk was getting serious at one point. He removes the tape from his hands. And he chucks it at Roman Reigns. And the referee says, oh, that's not nice. Let me pick this up. And then he proceeds to low blow Roman. And the ultimate act of desperation. For a near fall after hitting the go to sleep. And then Roman is so out of it, he lays in position for the go to sleep again, but Punk's back gives out. He goes down. And that allows Roman Reigns to recover, hit a spear of his own to become the new champion. They told a great story. Both guys worked really hard. The chemistry is clearly there. And this is how you present a main event of WrestleMania. Without the frills, without the BS, just two guys going out there and laying it all on the line and delivering a classic.
Yeah, and it all ties back to Roman calling him old, because apparently his age and him being old and not being able to keep up is really what ended the match. Not being able to get that second GTS, which we've seen him hit in that position. They've done a good job of setting that up by him using that to end matches before. So all of that played into the finish. They just did a really good job of laying it out throughout. Them taking each other's finishers, laying those in, the submissions, and a kind of vice that got laid in. I mean, just this is what a main event looked like. This is why this closed out. Worthy to close out. You could put this main event against just about any other WrestleMania main event. I think it holds up well. CM Punk has now closed night one and night two in consecutive years. So that probably means a lot to him. And yeah, I mean, this is great. Great main event. Great way to close out the weekend and ends it on a high note.
It did. Like, everybody left home happy. You know, everybody went home happy, I should say, and that the match was not overbooked. That was my concern, that we get the referee bump, we get the Usos coming out, we get the BS, but they kept it contained. This was a one-on-one match. Punk got desperate. He was the one that went for the low blow. Roman didn't know such thing. He didn't cheat. He kept it straight and narrow. He just wore the man down because, as you said, CM Punk is old. He's an old man, and that age got to him at the end. And I know the people say Punk's slow. He's supposed to be slow, y'all. That's the story. He's supposed to drag a little bit. I think he's a great storyteller in that respect, because you see the struggle. You see what he's going through just to keep pace, just to maintain his heat and momentum in the match. And when you're being out-wrestled and outclassed down the stretch, you see that. He's a master storyteller that way. I don't think the man is blown up in the match. I just think he's selling in a very gritty, believable way, because in storyline and in real life, he's old.
Yeah, and that's kind of been his story, especially with who he's been going up against, you know, Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins, those type of wrestlers. And, you know, it's been all about him being kind of the wily vet and having to really outthink them instead of being out physical with them. So this is no different. Roman just had a lot more in the tank than he did. But, again, great way to end the weekend. a main event worthy to be talked about. And I'm curious to see where they go tomorrow. I hope we do get to kind of see what the next challenges look like, because we got Backlash coming up real soon.
Yes, we do. And this is also the night after WrestleMania, Monday Night Raw, their biggest Raw of the year. We know the fallout from WrestleMania is going to be interesting. We expect some NXT call-ups. If you watched NXT Revenge Night 1, people who lost, they could very well debut on this show tomorrow night on Monday Night Raw. The show continues on Tuesday on NXT on the CW, and people that lose will most likely debut on SmackDown on Friday as well. So there's going to be some call-ups imminently to kind of bolster both rosters heading into post-WrestleMania season, getting us ready for Backlash in a couple of weeks' time in Tampa, Florida, and then the road to SummerSlam begins. So I'm looking forward to how they're going to reframe everything after WrestleMania. Looking forward to that as well. And then Brandon asks, can we see Zela on Monday Night Raw helping Roman getting attacked from CM Punk? He ain't signed the WWE. The answer is no, unfortunately.
Nah, won't see him there. Won't see him in NXT. Best chance you'll see him is Triple A.
Triple A for right now, for sure. But Scott, before we go, your final thoughts on WrestleMania, and we have not done this in quite some time, your rating for this show.
Man, I really enjoyed night two. I thought this was a well-paced, well-balanced, and really just capped off with a great main event. I'm going to give this I'm gonna give it four and a half out of five Oolafalas. That main event really kind of set me over the edge. I just thoroughly enjoyed it. Jade versus Rhea was a nice big woman battle. They did the right thing with Oba, made another star. So the night started off well. The ladder match was a great continuation right there. Night two was really, really good. So yeah, 4.5 Oolafalas out of five.
I agree. I would almost go 4.75, but 4.5 seems very fair as well. And for the second show in a row, Paul Levesque has decided to stay backstage. Good for you, because you've learned your lesson. You camera hog, you have learned your lesson that you should walk in silence. You should let your booking speak louder than words, even though night one was a mess. And now you know, just stay in your lane. It ain't about you. It's what we do. And it's a new era. Like, I'm glad that now you're taking a step back and letting it be about the talent and not about yourself. Maybe you can go to the same media training that Tony Khan went to and then bring yourself back to the table when you're good and ready, trained, and more able to, I don't know, deliver competent answers. Besides, is what we do. And it's a new era.
It don't matter to me. As long as he keep producing shows like he did for night two. Mm-hmm. As long as we get those, since we're going back to the one night shows, because we can't have night ones. We need night twos all night.
Listen, next year's WrestleMania, and when we get back to the States, man, if you say I'm on night one, I might cry like, Lord, night one, really? You put me on night one? I don't know. So that's a good question, Scott. Do you think they should keep the two nights of WrestleMania, or do you just basically absorb a very long show and just do one night?
Nah, you know what? We getting out of here before 10 o'clock on these shows. Nah. you go ahead and do your two nights and get out of here before 10 o'clock. It's before they go back to one night. Like, yeah, we got you. All right. We got a TK special for you, because we going till midnight and later. Nah, I'm cool with the two nights ending before 10 o'clock. I'm with it. Just cut a match.
I can say you can go 3 to 4 hours. You can. For the biggest night of your year, you should go longer for your matches. There has to be a happy medium there. They need to learn that lesson for next year. But I agree with you. To have a show end at 9:30, thank you, Jesus. Because just a few years ago, the show legitimately ended at 12:30 a.m. A long-ass show that just was insane. So I would prefer me getting to bed before midnight versus me starting this show at midnight.
Yeah, 100% all day.
Yes. Blessings. But as we said, this is your biggest end of the year. Try to give your talent more time because they waited for this moment all year long. And, you know, now we're in this era again of where everybody doesn't get a WrestleMania cookie. Everybody doesn't make the card. That is a fact of life. So when you are in this position to be on the card, to represent the company, to have your moment, it should not be cut. And that is my one thing. You should not be cutting matches in terms of time at WrestleMania. No excuses, because you're going to give them more time and backlash next month. Make your biggest show of the year feel like your biggest show of the year. And we got that for night two. Night one, I choose to forget. My condolences to that night, but I don't choose to go back and look on it fondly.
Yeah, they'd be able to splice up a nice video. There were some good matches on night one. It just ended on such a sour note, you're not going to remember them. But overall, I think it was a successful weekend.
Yes, and rest in peace to Pat McAfee's career. It was legitimate. His wife posted, like, first day of retirement. Good. I never want to see you again. Adios. It's really bad when they have to basically write you out of the story because you're so polarizing and you're unanimously hated at the same time.
Well, that's one less thing to worry about. Now they can get back to business, see how long Cody's out on Friday, and see where they take that story as well.
Yeah, and hey, no rose of jelly. Good to see as well. Spared.
Did his job.
And got out, which I appreciated. And with that, that is a wrap for our WWE post-game live recapping the highs, mostly, and not so many lows from WrestleMania Night 2. Overall, it was a really good show, reminded us why WWE can be at their very best when they care. Night 2 was a prime example of that. This will go down as probably one of the better WrestleManias of all time by just bleaching out Night 1. If you bleach out Night 1, it's great. For the weekend, it might be in the middle, but for one night, they delivered up and down the card for sure. Now, Scott and I will be back tomorrow night on The Wrap to recap the fallout from WrestleMania on the night after WrestleMania edition of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. As Fernando says, more to come tomorrow. It is a cliffhanger, sir. You're absolutely right. There's so much to talk about. I wonder what we will be talking about when it's all said and done as we're back here tomorrow night. But Scott, I want to thank you as always for joining me to recap WrestleMania 42, Night 2.
Thank you, Keila. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. It's been a good WrestleMania season. Good way to cap off the weekend, man. Again, great main event. And I will talk to y'all tomorrow. Y'all come back and join us for the Wrap after Raw. And yeah, should be a good Raw tomorrow. I'm expecting a good follow up for tonight.
I believe so as well. Like, as long as they can lock in as they did tonight, then I have high hopes for tomorrow. Should be a very fun show. Great WrestleMania tonight. Ended the weekend on a high note. Thank God for that. And I'm sure ESPN is especially happy to say, finally, this money we spending, this is what we spend our money for a show like this. This is what we paid for. And they got a really good show tonight. So kudos to them. Hopefully this is the sign of the partnership clicking the way it should moving forward. But until tomorrow night, that is a wrap for WWE Postgame Live number 2, recapping the highs from WrestleMania Night 2 as we bid adieu to Las Vegas, almost, with one more show tomorrow night on Raw. For myself and Perky Scott Young, that is a wrap for all things WWE. Until tomorrow night, take care and bye-bye.